Happy Wednesday, everybody. We are live in Whittier, California. You're listening to In Transit Radio. I'm live at the station with filmmaker Jesse D'Angelo from The Adventures of Horse Hog.
Hello.
How are you today, Jesse?
I'm phenomenal. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. Last show of the month, so we're pretty pumped over here.
Nice.
How was your drive over here?
It was L.A. traffic, I have to say. I'm just wondering why there are so many people on the 5 North on Wednesday at 11. It was a little bit crazy.
I don't know where these people come from. I feel like they're just a test of my patience.
They just know that I'm about to hit the road, so they're like, oh, Jesse's about to hit the road. We all have to go hit the road and, like, you know, clamor around and confuse him and frustrate him. So, but I'm here. I'm okay. So I'm happy.
That's good. That's good. Thank you for taking the time out of. You said you just started promoting your film.
This is my first promotional interview for this film.
First one on In Transit. Thank you so much for coming again. I'm very excited. We rarely have filmmakers in because they're really, really, really hard to get. But we're glad that you got the chance to come out and promote this film. So tell us about The Adventures of Horse Hog. How'd you come up with that name?
Well, basically, it started as a joke between my friend Nick Corrado and I. We were watching a lot of cheesy 80s movies, especially Sam Elliott movies and Stallone movies, namely Roadhouse, Mask with Cher and Sam Elliott, Over the Top with Stallone, Cobra with Stallone. And one day while watching Over the Top, Nick and I just started joking around and created this side plot that's sort of loosely based on the plot of Over the Top, and we combined it with our fascination of Sam Elliott, because we started joking on Sam Elliott.
Of course.
Be like, how you doing there, little kid? You're talking like this, like Sam Elliott, goddamn. You know? So it just became this character, and originally we called the character Gar, which was the name of Sam Elliott in Mask, and just Gar. And I thought, you know, we have to, like, turn this into an actual new character. And Horse Hog just came into my head, you know. He's got to sound like an animal, combine the name of two animals. He's a pig, he's got a horse voice. It just sounded right.
And how'd you cast the main character?
Well, originally, it was going to be played by my friend Nick. We came up with the idea together, and he does a great Sam Elliott impersonation.
Makes sense.
Right. But Nick is he's going to college. He's going to school to become an RN. He just got married. He has a baby. He has a lot of responsibilities. So as this movie became more of a reality, he realized that he wasn't going to be able to devote the time that he'd have to play the part. So I had to find another horse, and fortunately I had just met Garrett Wade through a friend, and Garrett's a great actor, and he's got a great look and great attitude, and I realized right off the bat that he'd be perfect for it. So we basically just brought Garrett in, put him in the wardrobe, put a big mustache on him, got him to growl, and bam, that's our new horse. And now it's kind of hard imagining anyone else's horse.
I'm seeing the promo photos right now. This guy looks incredible. He does look like a hairy animal.
Well, we're trying to make him basically look like 1980s Sam Elliott. And the movie's basically, you know, it's a comedy. It's a satire of 1980s Macho Man movies. So if you've seen movies like Over the Top and Roadhouse or Cobra or Tango and Cash, any of these, you know, cheesy Macho Man movies, that's what we're making fun of. So our hero and his son are bonding, and basically, just to tell you what this movie is all about, it's a 15-minute short film, but it's the first 15 minutes of a longer story. So the intention is to either turn this into a web series or a full-length feature. So we're going to take our 15-minute short, take it to investors, get some juice going, get some buzz going, and raise the money to do the rest of the story.
Wow. How long did it take you to write the script for this 15-minute short?
You know, this script I wrote in about a couple days.
Well, that's not bad. Well, that's not bad.
Well, you know, because the idea and the character had been brewing in my head for so long that I just knew exactly what it was going to be. So when it came time to write it, it all just came out. And after that, it was just a question of polishing it up a bit, you know.
And how long was that polishing process?
Not very long. I mean, literally, it was just when we got the actors together and started, you know, just little tweaks here and there. I didn't have to change anything story-wise, character-wise. I mean, it's pretty much the same script, except maybe, oh, I'll add a line here, I'll take this line out. Very, very little. I mean, that first initial, you know, impression that I got of the story was pretty pure. It was sort of like the story of James Cameron designing the Terminator, you know, and he drew his first rough sketch, and then they went through like 1,000 iterations trying to come up with something better, and they wound up just coming back to his first sketch because that was his initial instinct, you know.
Right. Did you find, like, while you were filming that the film itself was heading a different direction, or was it more of you guys refined that during the polishing process? And
I think it became a little bit more family friendly as we went on. Like, I think when I first came up with the idea and started writing it, I wanted it to be really dirty, you know, kind of like Team America, and, you know, a lot of bathroom humor, a lot of cursing, a lot of just really inappropriate stuff. And there is, you know, a certain level of that in the movie. But I think once we cast Garrett, and Garrett is such a nice guy, and then we cast the kid, you know, the kid is only 10 years old, who we cast as his son, it became a little bit harder to be that dirty with it, especially when the kid was in the picture.
Kid was right there.
Yeah, so we kind of took out a couple of F-bombs, you know.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, and also I know that it's just really hard to sell something that would be, like, NC-17 or unrated, you know, so we just toned it down to, like, an R rating kind of thing.
And are you happy with the final product?
I'm very happy. I mean, it's... We shot the whole thing in 3 days for $5,000. It was extreme, wow, like, guerrilla filmmaking. We really had to, like, rush through it. And as a result, there's a couple things that are a little rough around the edges. But the idea is that we're going to get money to redo everything, shoot the whole rest of the movie, polish up everything that, you know, we, you know, like to redo. And, but yeah, aside from all that, it's just... blown me away how good it's come out, and you know, how many people have contributed and, you know, gone above and beyond.
How many people did you have on crew?
Boy, we must have had on the big shoot day. We had a big arm wrestling match shoot day. On that day, I think we had about 50 people altogether. But then other than that, we'd have, you know, maybe a crew of like 10 people, including, you know, the handful of actors that we'd have. But on that big day, I mean, we were basically trying to shoot maybe 3 days worth of material in one day. So right, we were really just flying, and I didn't even have time to, like, you know, check Video Village, check playback, see if everything, it was just like, just go, go, go.
we shot the scene, we'll do it 2 more times, and we're set, let's go, let's move on to the other scene.
Right.
Did you feel that had, like, kind of added stress on the actors, or do you think that it kind of added well to it, or it blended well?
I don't think it added any stress to the actors. I just think that in retrospect, you know, if there was anything I would do different, I would like to have a little bit more time with that scene. You know, maybe have 2 days to shoot that scene instead of one day, so that I wasn't having to rush. Also, I was an actor in that scene, so I had a small part. So I'm, like, running around, you know, screaming and shouting into a megaphone in front of the camera, and then, you know, also dealing with behind the camera. So
how is it? I've always wondered about directors who do scene and do work in scenes. How is that? Because I could only imagine, like, you're in the scene, you're in the moment, and then something happens. You're like, wait, we have to cut it. We have to redo it.
Right.
Is it hard for a director to do that in your own experience?
It's, I mean, you have to realize what part you're doing and what part you have to delegate to your team. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that before we got there, I was like, okay, these shots here I'm going to be in. So, you know, you have to, you know, say action and cut. You have to be the eye on the monitor. You have, you know, and I have to credit my co-producer and director of photography, Jack Ho, who did a great job with that, you know. And so, I mean, when it was time for me to get on camera, it would just be like, okay, I'm acting now, and, you know, my first AD and my DP, they're going to tell me where to go, where to stand. You know, I'll just let them kind of tell me what to do, because we've already pre-planned, you know, and I've drawn out storyboards for everything, like, make the shot look like this, make the shot look like that, tell these people where to go. So they already know what to do. So by the time I, you know, I have to perform, I don't have to worry about all that. I just have to say my lines. And,
go, go, go.
Right.
I could never do that. Everybody knows. Everybody that I work with to get this show, like, going knows that I'm a complete control freak. Like, I always need to know what's going on, and I don't think I could put in that focus of being in a scene and then having somebody else, like, take charge of my initial vision. When you started filming, was it more of, this is what I have in mind, this is what I want the final product to come out like, or were you more like, let's film it and see where everybody's ideas go?
Well, I had planned everything pretty tightly with storyboards and with the script. It didn't really veer too far from the script or the storyboards. Occasionally, we'd get on a location and realize, okay, the location's set up a little bit differently than it's drawn, so let's adjust the storyboards. And, you know, I always think of storyboards as a blueprint, not, you know, something you have to follow strictly. But yeah, we planned it out pretty much to a T, and it's turned out exactly the way I planned it, right down to the music cues. I mean, we've got, you know, the music, it's almost a musical. I mean, the characters don't walk around singing, but the music is timed up perfectly to what's on the screen. So, and it just amazes me when we cut it together, and then we take the music, and we put it together, and it lines up, and it matches perfectly. And it tells me, wow, you know, our planning did work.
You're like, thank God that everything worked out fine. And
yeah, because there's a few moments where it's literally like really tight cues where he runs to the door, he picks this up, he starts the car engine, and each little beat, there has to be a musical sting or a musical cue to go with each one. And so, you know, we actually pulled it off. And I think the music is probably the best part of the movie. I was really lucky to get a couple great guys to help out with the music. Dave Sampin, I found. He's a great rock and roll musician, and he did all of the rock and roll soundtrack. And then my great old friend Jan Bratslavski did all the score. So anything that's not rock and roll, that's Jan doing. And man, just these songs that I wrote were all just very cheesy, bad 80s lyrics. I love you, ooh, ooh, ooh.
That's the best kind.
You and me together forever. I mean, I was just like, how many cliches can I possibly throw into this song? And I found Dave, and I was almost prepared to kind of settle for music that was good enough. Like, I'll find a guy who has a home studio, and he can play all the instruments himself, and as long as I can sing these lyrics and have it the way I want it, it'll be good enough. But then I found Dave, and it went from good enough to, you know, top-of-the-line musician. You know, he can play with anybody. He could stand on stage with Slash and compete with Slash. No joke. And guitar, bass, keyboard, drums, he does it all. He's also a mixer and an engineer, and he's also just a great guy. So I found him, and now the music for my movie is, like, amazing. So I couldn't be happier with that.
Great. I want to hear this next track. What's this track called?
Well, there's two tracks that you could play, and I'll let you choose. The first one is the Horse Hog theme song, and the other is our sort of ballad, like our hit single, if you will. The theme song starts with the opening dialogue for the movie. It's just the dialogue between the first two characters, and then it goes into the instrumental of it. So I'll let you choose which one you want to hear.
I want to hear that one. I want to hear the first one.
All right,
the theme song from The Adventures of Horse Hog. We're in the station right now with Jesse D'Angelo, talking about his short film, The Adventures of Horse Hog. Stick around. You're listening to In Transit.
Can you hear me now?
Barely. Where are you calling from, anyway?
Oh, just a friend's house.
For God's sake, Horse, when are you just going to get a cell phone?
Now, come on there, Randy. You know I don't know how to use all that new fandangled technology crap.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the last time I left Little Junior alone with you, you took him to a whorehouse in Denver and got into a knife fight.
I think you might be exaggerating a little bit, darling. It was only a strip club and the guy attacked me. What was I supposed to do? Not fight back? Let the boy watch his paw get killed? Besides, he's getting old enough now to start acclimating to a little wild turkey.
He's 12!
Look, the boy's with his old man and he'll be just fine.
Oh yeah? Well, remember the agreement, Horse. You get Junior every other weekend, so you better have him back on Monday morning in time for school. And no bars, no strippers, no booze. You think you can handle that, Horse?
Have I ever let you down before?
You son of a...
You guys are listening to In Transit Radio. I'm live at the station with filmmaker Jesse D'Angelo talking about his next upcoming short film, The Adventures of Horse Hog. We just finished hearing the theme song from it.
Oh, yeah.
That was incredible. That was really, really, really incredible.
Thank you, sir.
How long did it take you guys to make that song?
That song? Okay, well, the interesting thing about that song is this is how amazing David Sampin is, right? I gave him the job to do this movie, and he was like, okay, I'm going to go off and I'm going to, like, just record a couple, like, sketches, the musical equivalent of sketches. And basically every day he goes in his studio and he gets his instruments, and he'll, like, record a song a day. He'll, like, play some guitar, record it, then he'll go play some bass over that, record it, play some drums over that, and he'll just come up with these, like, you know, very quickie kind of songs. So, and he sent me this email, like, here's a couple quickie songs, just like sketches, basic ideas of, you know, stuff for your movie. And I listened to it, and literally one of them was almost that final song that you just heard. The instrumentals, not the vocals. So when we went in to do the final song, we just kind of recorded a new intro for that song and recorded the vocals to go over it. And other than that, all the instrumentals that you hear there, Dave just kind of sat down and just winged it. And, I mean, he's just amazing. So that was a quick one.
It came out really sharp.
Yeah.
I like that bass line, too, that you added down there.
Yeah, he's really good. And that was Garrett Wade singing and me also doing some vocals. And then also Lisson Whittingham is on there. Dave Sampin and Lisson Whittingham, by the way, quick plug, they're in the band 80 Do, and they're an 80s cover band, and they're awesome.
Hey, you couldn't have chosen a better band to do this film, I think.
Yeah.
They really did it justice.
Get them on your show eventually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll hit them up. Yeah, we will contact them.
Yeah.
I see a bunch of references to Grape Jelly.
Yep.
Would you like to comment on that?
Somehow it became like a running joke of like grape jelly. It's sort of like Popeye has his spinach, Horse Hog has grape jelly. I don't really know why. I think Nick and I, when we were first coming up with the project, we're just coming up with like gross things for him to say, sick crap for him to be into. And we just thought like, you know, grape jelly. I mean, like, it just... We leave it mysterious, so it invokes, like, what's he doing with that grape jelly? You know, he has multiple uses for it. Some of it's, like, he uses it as a weapon. It can also have sexual uses. It's sort of like...
What can't you do with grape jelly?
Well, exactly. It's sort of like, it's a thing, you know.
And, there was a really good question I wanted to ask you, and it completely slipped my mind.
This is why your improvising techniques sometimes fail you, sir. You need to write this stuff down.
I was just the grape jelly threw me off because now I'm thinking about grape jelly and all the uses for grape jelly. So now I'm just at a loss of words.
Well, that's kind of the thing is like we want to get people's imaginations going. Like just by having our hero holding up a jar of grape jelly in the movie. Makes people go like, what's with the grape jelly? Why is he holding up the thing of grape jelly?
That's exactly what I was thinking when I saw the promo shot for it.
Yeah, and there's like, you know, our child actor in the movie. I'm not going to give away what's going on with it, but it's like a little bit random. Like you see the kid and you're like, what's up with the kid? There's something going on with this kid. I can't put my finger on it. And, you know, so I'm trying to like keep people off balance a little bit. You know.
And what kind of adventures does Horse Hog get himself into?
Well, basically, this story, like I said, is the first 15 minutes of a longer movie, and it sets up the adventure. So in our movie, it's basically he bonds with his son, and then at the very end of the 15 minutes, his son is kidnapped. And the kid is kidnapped by this group of preppy goons, like wearing their like Crocs and you know pastel colored shirts and whatnot. So they kidnap the kid, and so now Horse has to grab his trusty sidekick Steven, and they have to go on a crazy adventure to get the kid back. So ultimately, it turns into like the plot of Commando, like. You know, his daughter's kidnapped. They, force him to, you know, go assassinate some foreign leader in order to get his kid back. Of course, he can't, you know, do the assassination, so he goes after them. So it's basically like, you know, we've taken Over the Top and Commando and put them in a meat grinder, and that's what you're getting. So if you love cheesy 80s action movies, then basically this is going to have all of that in there.
Great. I want to backpedal a little bit. What made you wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I think I could direct this, or I can make this film possible? What motivated you to do this? Because it's no easy task. Like, I wish it could be as simple as, you know, let's go get a bunch of friends with a video camera and let's just go around town recording scenes.
Right.
It's not like that at all.
Right. Well, a part of it is like that, because you do have to have friends, and you do have to have some equipment, and you do have to be able to get some stuff for free.
Oh, especially, of course, yeah.
You know, we made our whole movie for $5,000, so there was a lot of favors going on.
Right.
A lot of people working for free. The reason it took us as long as it did to finish it is because we're all working for free, so we'd all have to go do other jobs or have other stuff going on. But yeah, when people are working like that for free, you have to make a lot of allowances. And as far as, you know, what got me wanting to do this movie, I mean, I've wanted to direct movies for a long time, and it was just a question of what can I pull off and actually do it well, you know. And I had written this script, and it was 15 pages, and I wrote it specifically as something that could be pulled off. Because a lot of people write their short films and have, like, explosions and gunfights and monsters and or a whole lot of extras or a whole lot of this or that, and it's not really, you know, that doable within your budget. So I wanted to write something that we could actually do for $5,000 with a handful of people, you know, just in and around LA. Doesn't require a lot of effects, doesn't require a lot of costumes. You know, it's just like, what's the kind of easiest, cheapest kind of thing that I can do and still make it look really good? And I thought, well, a comedy is always, you know, you can do it cheap. You know, you can make people laugh. It doesn't cost any money to make people laugh. And then when it was just the support of people, you know, I finished the script. I sent it out to all my friends. And then a couple people started coming back to me saying, this sounds good. Let's do this. Let's have a meeting. Let's all get together and do this. So it went from just being my little idea to being other people rallying behind it. And when other people get into it, that, you know, that psychs you up. That makes you want to go after it even more.
It kind of fuels you to keep on.
Yeah, because it's no longer like, oh, this is just my crazy dream and nobody's going to get it, or oh, people aren't going to be into this humor or whatever. And then all of a sudden it's like several of your friends are going, hey, I really love that script. Let's do this as our next thing, you know. So, and each step of the way, you know, I'm getting things that I didn't think I could get. You know, like, oh, we got that for free. We got this guy for free. Or, you know, all these things coming in, and it looks like a bigger, more expensive movie than it is. It looks like a, you know, big professional movie in a lot of ways. And it's, like, totally indie.
It's an indie film, you know.
Yeah.
Honestly, I prefer watching a good indie film than a cinematic blockbuster type of a thing. They kind of lose their touch, you know, their passion, because it's all about the money.
Yeah.
But I think, like, once filmmakers start doing these things on their own, the passion goes through it. And you can really see that. So indie films are 100% better, in my opinion, at least.
They definitely can be, and they can definitely free up a filmmaker, you know, rather than, you know, struggling for years and years trying to get into the studio system. You know, if you have a few grand and some talented friends and, you know, some good gear, you can go make your own stuff. And it can be good if you're any good. People always say, like, oh, follow your dreams no matter what. Yeah, I say follow your dreams if your dream makes sense.
Right.
You know, I'm 5'5". If my dream is to play with the NBA, you know, it might not be so realistic to say to me, like, just follow your dream, Jesse. What, no matter what it takes, you can join the NBA. It's like, yeah, maybe not on that one. I don't know.
You have to kind of set yourself up for it. Set yourself up for success and
right.
Find out, you know, the realistic point of view of things.
Exactly.
How can people find out more about The Adventures of Horse Hog?
Okay. Right now, Facebook and Twitter are the best ways. We're in the process of setting up our new website, but it's not up yet. So if you go to Facebook, just look up The Adventures of Horse Hog. Hog spelled with two G's. Twitter, The Adventures of Horse Hog. Twitter might just be Horse Hog, but I'm sure if you type in Horse Hog into either of them, you will go. It'll take you there. And soon we'll have a website up. We're going to be releasing a trailer pretty soon. And like I said, this is my first promotional stop, so I'm going to try to, you know, spread the word far and wide, get people into it. We're entering into film festivals. There's going to be a SAG screening coming up, LA Film Festival Online. And we're going to enter in as many places as we can. So, yeah.
Great. And if you guys want a one-stop shop for all these links, you can visit intransitradiola.com under the directory or artist directory. We have all of Jesse D'Angelo's links there. So again, that's on intransitradiola.com. We'll be following tightly with this because I'm really interested in this. I'm a nerd when it comes to indie films.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you, man.
And thank you guys for listening again. We have been talking to Jesse D'Angelo from the Adventures of Horse Hog short film coming up. Coming up next on In Transit, we have the band called Holly. So stick around.
Thank you guys. See
this bitch.
My boy, cruising around in this world full of joy. Everything's fine, long as I have you, and you have me. Think of all we can do, 'cause they can't bring us down. We've already won, driving around, just father and son, whoa, yeah. Oh, wow. I will show you the ropes, how to be a man, about this crazy world, I'll help you understand. We can fly with the wind, or sail the seven seas. We can do it all, like just a you and me. Oh, 'cause they can't bring us down.
Everyone, this is Chuck Harold with my co-host,
Paul Tallyho Bristow,
from Security Guy Radio. Regard is a verb, not a noun. Every Monday night at 7 p.m., we challenge the conventional wisdom of the security industry with our plain talk experience, humorous stories, and answers from the top security experts in the field. Tune in each week for the latest security news, enlightening interviews, and a look at a featured security gadget or service.
Join us on the web at securityguyradio.com.
And listen every Monday night at 7 p.m. exclusively on AdrenalineRadio.com.
What up, cool world? I'm Zion.
And I'm Leland from the band Blue Noise.
To discover new artists, musicians, and more, listen to In Transit Radio Live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. on Adrenaline Radio.
And intransitradiola.com.
Support local talent. Artists.
Oh, talent.
That's you.
Shoot.
Do you love leather? Do you own a piece of fine leather furniture? Do you love the way it feels when you sit in it? Do you want to keep it that way? Because my name is Chris Lawler, and I own Leather Care Services. I'm in the business of restoring and maintaining leather furniture so that you love it as much in 10 years as you did the day that you bought it. Call me at area code 562-693-7676. Remember, Leather Care Services, saving cows one hide at a time.
You guys are listening to In Transit Radio. For those of you just tuning in, we just had Jesse D'Angelo come in. He's a filmmaker with his upcoming short called The Adventures of Horse Hog. Sounds like a really funny funny movie. Did you guys get a chance to hear that interview?
Yeah,
we did.
Heard some of it.
It sounds like a really, really funny movie. I'm really interested in it. And if you guys want to follow up to The Adventures of Horse Hog and short film coming up, can visit intransitradiola.com. We have all the links there for you guys to visit, and as well as this podcast too. So if you need to jet out or if you want to re-listen to it, then by all means you can do so at intransitradiola.com. For now, we are in the station with Holly the Band. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Thank you for having us.
I'm really good. Thank you guys for coming. How was your drive over here?
It was okay.
You guys sound kind of disappointed.
Well, we came from different directions, so it was kind of...
Oh, you guys met up here.
Yeah. We all live in different spots around
the city. That's
crazy.
Where do you guys live?
I live in Santa Monica.
And who are we speaking to?
George, the guitarist.
You live in Santa Monica.
Yeah. Pretty gloomy.
Gloomy day?
Recently.
Man, we were planning on going to Santa Monica after this interview, too.
Good luck.
It'll clear up.
Hopefully. Yeah, is it freezing over there right now?
At night.
At night?
During the morning, but then like in the afternoon, sunshine, so.
Have you been to Santa Cruz?
Yes, yeah. I have, actually.
Would you live in Santa Cruz or in Santa Monica?
There's a lot of things to do in Santa Monica, so right. I think I'm going to just stay there for now.
I love Santa Cruz. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Our singer, Ziri, who's not here, unfortunately, she graduated from Santa Cruz.
From UC Santa Cruz?
Yeah, she's a banana slug.
I have a friend who majored in stage managing. She graduated from UC Santa Cruz.
Yeah, it's a cool spot.
Yeah, man, that's my dream to go over there, hopefully. Yeah. And you are Juan, the drummer.
Yeah.
The percussionist.
Yeah, I came from downtown LA. That's where I live, so.
How's that?
It wasn't bad. I left at a pretty good time. I'm pretty used to it by now, so it's not a big deal.
That's crazy. Yeah. Do you hit traffic a lot, or?
No, I try my best to stay there, you know.
not travel at all.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Inglewood, but I try my best to just those two spots, Inglewood and downtown. So.
How do you like downtown? I hear that there's like a major transition from what it was to like hipster nation over there.
It's a lot. It's changing. I mean, it's super expensive. I kind of love it and hate it at the same time because there's a lot of people who've lived there for so long are getting kicked out, which sucks.
Yeah, man.
But technically, it's like, you know, everybody moving into those apartments are the problem, but. Anyways, yeah, that's where I'm from.
Well, another story for another day.
Adrian, bass player.
Adrian. Are you nervous?
No.
You sound a little bit quiet.
From Hawthorne.
It's because you're a bass player. You're from Hawthorne. How is that? Never been to Hawthorne.
It's up and coming. Like, live in walking distance from a Pizza Hut. It's Dang. The best thing ever.
It is.
I like how it's like Santa Monica, great city. Downtown LA, interesting city, and then we have Hawthorne, which is
up and coming.
Up and coming Hawthorne. Yeah, so you guys are with the band Holly. Tell us more about Holly. How'd you guys meet up and start this project band or this incredible band, I should say? You guys are pretty good.
Juan and I, we've been playing since we were like 15.
14, 15.
You guys have known each other since?
We're all cousins.
Yeah. Oh, okay, cool.
The whole band's related. So Ziri, the singer, she's my sister, and then we're all just cousins, like family, like legit family.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. I would have never, you guys all look different.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, I guess you guys should since you guys are cousins. Right? Yeah. How does that work? I don't even know how like family trees work.
We just live around each other. That's not, he lives, my last house, he used to live right next to me. So
we all grew up on the block, on a block in Inglewood called Holly.
That's how we got,
Adrian was the one who came up with the idea, like, you know, we were rehearsing so much and we didn't have a name at the time. So he was the one who suggested just name it Holly. And
for gigging sake, too. Yeah. Yeah. Just stuck.
Do you guys get a lot of confusion with, you know, do your fans expect there's somebody to be like named Holly in the band? Or I expected there to be a Holly in the band, but it turned out there wasn't.
I think I've gotten that a few times, but then when I tell them that, oh, we all live on the same street, they're like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. Like, yeah, like, I guess there is some confusion, not to mention the Holly the band,
right.
And then others is just Holly. And
yeah, there's a lot of that going around. But hey, you know, it is what it is. You guys have to do with it.
Hopefully the music speaks for itself.
Yeah, you know? hopefully. What has been your greatest song accomplishment of all time?
Oh, that's a good
one. Like a song that you guys just hear over and over and you guys are like, we nailed it.
I think we're gonna play GFY, but I think it's an ever growing thing where we think it's the song that we write at the moment is the song, but then we write another one, and then it becomes, because we grow each time, I think.
Yeah. I mean, we rehearse so much and for so long when we do that, you know, at the beginning of rehearsal we'll get really stoked and happy about playing a song again, but then by the end of it we're just like, we're super over it. But it kind of helps us keep writing and you know, progressing, I guess, to get pretty hyped on some new stuff over and over and get that feeling over and over. It's, you know, we're pretty lucky to have that.
And then most of the songs that we write, I always think, like, when we're writing the music, we always, like, conflict with each other. And I feel like the ones that we butt heads the most are the best songs, too, that take in a lot of more work, a lot more discussion. And I feel they come out even more amazing.
That's crazy. And have you guys ever competed so much for a song or dealt with like a song and each other where you guys are just like, you know what, we're trashing this song and we're moving to a different one because we don't like where this is going, or we can't reach an agreement? Has that happened yet?
All the time. Yeah, we dead a lot of songs. Like, we have a ton of songs that are parts and full songs with lyrics and everything that were just like, it wasn't a waste of time because it ended up being something better, but yeah, we'll never play it again. It's just, it's not good enough, you know, or it just wasn't, it didn't hit like all the other songs that were worth recording, worth going into the studio for. So you know, we get that all the time. It happens a lot. Sometimes we don't get anything done in 3-4 hours. Sometimes we get a lot done in 3-4 hours.
Are you guys constantly rehearsing? I used to be friends with a bunch of bands, like ska bands, rock bands. Mm-hmm. Every day after like school they would go to each other's houses and play and rehearse and mess around and get drunk and like, yeah, do a bunch of stuff. Is that what your rehearsals are like at the end of like every day? Is just, all right, we're gonna go rehearse?
The drinking, no.
Let's get to the band stuff. Let's move away from the recreational activities.
It's a little bit more serious just because the fact that we were trying to always put out music and we're always trying to meet like the year deadline to at least put out something every year.
So you guys set goals for your songs.
Yeah, definitely. And then, I mean, outside of that, when we're not rehearsing, like Adrian takes like bass lessons with this incredible bassist, and so he's always like doing stuff. I mean, everyone's always doing stuff when they're not doing stuff together. So it's pretty, you know, we stay busy as much as possible.
That's really, really hard to do. Yeah. I can imagine how like crazy your lives get sometimes, where it's like, well, I have to go to work, we have to, you know, go take, you know, bass lessons, and then we have to go compose a song, and then we have to go, you know, rehearse, and then we have to go promote it, and then play the live show. How do you guys like balance everything out?
Just good organization.
The best kind.
But it's not really like all that, like, let's say we have to write a song, we have to promote, we have to make merch, we have to actually get the merch and all that. It just happens like throughout.
Gradually.
It's not like, all right, we have all this and this is how we're gonna do it. It's just like, all right, let's go get the pins done. Okay, when are we getting them? 2 weeks later. Okay, cool. And then it's just step by step. But we initially do plan out, all right, let's have this and this and this by at least this time, and then from there on, we'll figure it out how we're going to do it.
Cool. How is this next song, or what's this next song called?
Quarters.
Quarters.
It's called Quarters, yeah.
And how did you guys make this song?
I mean, I think it was a mix of like 3-4 different parts, and then we just figured out a way to stick them together. It's usually how it goes. With
our song. Like either I bring a riff or Adrian brings a riff, and or Juan has an idea, or he comes up with a beat. But usually, like for quarters, like specifically, there was like a mindset of how we wanted it to sound. So we were going striving for that. But aside from that, you know, none of us really like, all right, we have a song. It's just like, all right, I have a part. Let's see where it can go.
Let's see what
we can add. And then we just build up. Like Juan would throw in some ideas. Adrian would throw in some ideas. Zuru would throw in some ideas. And then you get that.
I have to say, from our online playlist, this has to be my favorite song.
Quarters.
And I like the name too, which is really simple. Let's hear it. This is Quarters by Holly the Band.
What up? We're Holly the Band, and you're listening to In Transit Radio. So, you know, your mom's listening. We're listening. Stay tuned.
I love it. We'll be back, you guys, In Transit Radio.
If you're an entrepreneur and business person, you know that without advertising, a terrible thing happens. Nothing. Increase your local, national, or worldwide sales by advertising right here on Adrenaline Radio. We have a sales rep that can custom tailor a campaign that will benefit both you and your business. Call 562-945-6469 before your competition does. That's 562-945-6469. Yeah, AdrenalineRadio.com.
Tropicana Bakery and Cuban Cafe. Come and experience our sweet tradition of sweets, pastries, and incredibly delicious Cuban food. At Tropicana, we offer a bohemian, nostalgic-like atmosphere. In Spanish, we say, es la hora de tertulia de café, which is the moment of drinking coffee and having a great time with friends and family. At Tropicana Bakery and Cuban Cafe, we have an array of exquisite coffees. We have an array of desserts, of pastries, and empanadas, sandwiches, and Cuban food. Come to Tropicana Bakery and be blown away by the Caribbean-like atmosphere and flavor profile. Tropicana Bakery and Cuban Cafe is located in the city of Downey. The address is 10218 Paramount Boulevard, virtually on the corner of Paramount and Florence.
You guys are listening to In Transit Radio on this very gloomy Wednesday again. I hate this weather. I feel like it's gloomy every Wednesday. It just hasn't
been. I wish it was gloomy every day.
Yep.
You're living in the wrong city.
Yeah.
Wrong state. Okay. We are live at the station in Whittier, California on Adrenaline Radio. I'm sitting across from Holly the Band. Hey. I love that last song, Quarters.
Yep.
Again, like I said, it's one of my favorite songs on the playlist. I mentioned before how or I asked you guys if you had a greatest song accomplishment. Do you guys have like a favorite song personally that you guys agree on, or it might be different for each and every one of you?
Different.
Well, yeah. it varies for sure. Like one of my favorite ones is probably gonna be like one that we recorded. Just because when we recorded it, I just had so much fun with it. But just the fact that almost all the songs have like different inputs when we originally like made them, so there'll be differences within them that sometimes I'm just like, I kind of like this one more than this one, or like I said, like, oh, I recorded this one, I had so much fun with it, so I automatically love it. Everyone has their other opinions of why not, but that's probably going to be mine for sure.
How about you, Juan?
Mine's Quarters. It's not my favorite one to play, but, well, actually, yeah, it is, but I like Quarters, because, yeah.
The way it came out?
No, the lyrics, everything it's about is actually why I care, like, I like it so much. So, I mean, if you, like, read the lyrics, you think it's about my sister singing about some guy or something, but it's actually about our dog, Rocky, who passed away. So, yeah, so that's why I really like that.
How sad.
Rest in peace.
Jeez.
Debbie Downer.
Gloomy Wednesday. I'd probably say today would be Eat You Alive.
That's actually a banger, for sure.
But I think I like more of the fast-paced, heavier-sounding things that we do.
Adrian's a dancer and a punk rocker at the same time. Yeah. He DJs, too, so he likes to dance.
And a bass player.
Yeah.
Dang.
So he's all over the place.
Tell us more about the people behind your band, the people who produce it with you and work with you to get these songs out.
Can I take this one?
We've
been kind of fortunate to work with certain people that and know people who have plugged us in with some even better people. For example, on our first EP, one of my good friends Rex plugged all of us in with this really great musician, producer Joel, who's the guitarist for Aloe Black right now. He's been touring all over the place with them. So, you know, he took a chance with us and helped us out, really. Especially he worked a lot with George. Yeah. I know he had an incredible time with him.
For Just Can't Wait, the solo, because he's a guitarist, so he'd always mention to me, like, it's always easier to work with a guitarist just because I'm a guitarist. And we both like the same type of music, too. So when I had to do the solo, he would let me do it 3 times, and it's just like, just be you. And then that song in particular has like a lot of effects in the back, in which we just got in a room and was like, all right, he just hit record, whatever happens, happens. So just go with it. And I would just like jam out on the back of the track, and we just record a bunch of noises, and then we just mess around with it. So that was a lot of fun. And
was he the one that introduced us to Diego?
So the first project we worked actually with both two guys that have helped us out a lot. So it's Joel, and then the second guy is Diego, who's done a bunch of really cool stuff in Mexico, specifically Oaxaca, with some crazy projects. But he's, you know, he's from the same part of Mexico our family's from, so it was pretty rad. It was a cool connection. And yeah, he's done really cool stuff with us, especially on this last group of songs that we did.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
And the studio, too.
It's been really cool. Definitely.
Great. So the next song we're going to hear from you guys is called GFY, and word on the street is we are the first ones to get to listen to it.
Yeah. So, yeah, and shout out to Carlos from GFY, because this song is actually, it's for a project that we're doing with him. He has his own line that's killing it, the clothing line, and he's one of my best friends. He knows what we do for fun, you know, so he approached me one day to do like this whole project with him, and this is the song. I think he's only heard it once too, and we played it for him once. So if he's not listening, then he won't listen to it, but we'll see.
What is the best way your fans and new fans can get a hold of you guys?
We have text SoundCloud.
Text Adrian.
Text Adrian.
Or you can do that. We have our SoundCloud at Holly the Band, Instagram, Holly the Band, Facebook, Holly the Band. Or if you know us personally, just text us. And yeah.
Great. And like I mentioned before, you guys, one stop, go to intransitradiola.com under the Discover tab. You can find all of Holly the Band's links on there. Makes it very easy for anybody to get into contact, follow, share, distribute. Playing us off the air, here is Holly the Band, GFY. Thank you guys for coming again.
Thank you.
And you guys have been tuning in to In Transit Radio. Come on back.